I'd like to thank our brother for his kind words of welcome here to Dromore today, and glad to be here and to have fellowship with the congregation and to share with you in your worship. It's a long, I can't remember when I was here last. I think it could be maybe 25 years ago. It's way over 20 years ago anyway, since I was here last. Time goes in very quickly, and we're all reminded of that, of course. Each and every year that passes, we are reminded how swiftly our lives go by. But I thank our brother for his welcome, and good to see everyone today in the congregation, all the children, the boys and girls as well, and we're glad to be here. Let's bow in a word of prayer as we turn to the word today. Let us pray. O our blessed Father, we ask of thee in our Saviour's name, bless the word to us. We think of all the boys and girls gathered today. We would lift up our hearts, Lord, and pray that each one would be saved while they're young, that they would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, go on to be men and women of God in this world, to live for the Lord. We praise thee for thy free grace. We thank thee, Lord, as we have just sung, for heaven, for glory that is to come. Help us and enable us to keep our eye upon the goal. Oh, we thank thee and praise thee for so great salvation today, for thy great redemption. And we praise thee, O God, for that place of many mansions that awaits every child of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn together for a few moments today here in this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 2. And the verse that I want to leave with you today is the verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 14. These, of course, are the words of the Apostle Paul. And he is encouraging the people of God to be strong in the faith and to keep on going on with the Lord and in the things of God. Verse 14 we read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now here the Apostle Paul is describing the man in his fallen state, in his sin, and in his darkness, as opposed to the spiritual man. And of course, there are only two classes of people in this world: the saved and the lost. Those who have put their faith in Christ for salvation and for glory to come. And those who are still in their sins. And so it's only divided up into the two classes. Note here how he puts it to us in the verse 11, for example. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit which is in him? And men are well acquainted one with the other. They can, in a sense, read each other's minds." That's the spirit that is in man. They're acquainted with their own nature. But then he goes on to say, "Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." So a man needs the Spirit of God to awaken him and to enlighten him concerning the things of the Spirit of God. The Christian knows about the things of the Spirit. And again in the verse 12, "Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." The Christian is somebody who possesses the Holy Spirit of God. And what a wonderful gift that is, to have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, God the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Apostle Paul reminds us that even our bodies are the temples. They are the dwelling place of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And of course, we need to remind ourselves of this great privilege continually. How easy it is for us to pass over great truths of the Scripture, and put them in the background. We don't deny them, of course, but we can be careless when it comes to these things. Dear Christian, let us not forget we possess God the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And then in the verse 16, here we have this division again. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now that's what the Christian possesses. We possess his salvation. Praise God, we possess the Holy Spirit. And how wonderful that we have the mind of Christ. That is the truth of Christ. The very word of Christ dwelling within us. That wisdom that comes from above. The world does not possess that because the world is in darkness. And the individual is in darkness until they are awakened and until they are enlightened. But the Christian has the mind of Christ. And what a wonderful blessing and privilege that is in a world of darkness and in a world of sin. Now the question is this that we want to think about today. How can we answer the devil? How can we answer the enemy? I'm thinking now about the one who's put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It may be just recently. It may be perhaps some years ago. Yes, you have come to him. You're trusting him alone for salvation. But now perhaps just of late, you have fallen into some doubts. And it may be that your assurance has reached a low ebb. And you're passing through a very difficult time. A time of darkness and a time of gloom. Yes, you have put your trust in him. And not only that, but you're seeking for to go on with the Lord each and every day. Now, I'm sure you have read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And there, of course, after he started on that journey to heaven and to glory, him and his friend, they were taken by giant despair. That's the picture given to us there. And they are imprisoned. And they're cast down. And they're passing through an awful difficult time. A time of weariness and a time of darkness. They have not lost their salvation, of course, because the true believer can never lose the gift of God. They cannot lose their salvation. But we can be cast down, as it were. We can experience an awful warfare within our own minds and within our own hearts. So how can we be assured then? We want to think of some things just today for a while that will, I trust, will help you if you're in that state of mind, that state of heart today. Yes, you have put your trust in him, but suddenly, it's as if a dark cloud has come upon you. And you're asking yourself many questions. Where do I really stand with the Lord? Am I really a Christian? How do we answer these things? Well, look here at our text. The natural man, and as I have said, the natural man is the man of the world. He's the unconverted man. He's the man who knows nothing at all of the things of the Spirit. He may be a good living man. He may be a respectable man, but he is still a natural man until he is born again of God's Holy Spirit and born from above. The natural man, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But then, note this, they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, dear soul, you may be doubting today, but how do we get out of that? How can we be uplifted? How can we regain this assurance? Well, here's the question we want to think about. Are the things of the Spirit of God foolishness to you? Are they? Are they foolishness to you? This great salvation, the gospel, the things of God, the Word of God, are they foolishness to you? Well, you're looking at me perhaps in the congregation and you will say, well, what are you talking about? Of course they're not foolishness to me. Yes, there's a battle going on in my mind and in my heart. But the things of God are not foolishness to me. Now here's a solid foundation on which to start. Because as far as the world is concerned, and as far as the unsaved man is concerned, they are foolishness to him. It's all just a lot of nonsense. The Bible, the preaching, attending church, he's still in the flesh. And he is still the natural man. Are these things foolishness to you? The truths of the gospel? Well, let's think about it for a moment. We'll commence by thinking upon this great truth. Is the teaching about the Almighty God in Scripture foolishness to you? There's many heathens, so-called heathens, they call themselves heathens today. There's people of science and people that are well educated and everything else. But when it comes to opening this book, and when they are presented with the God of heaven, the one who made the heavens and the earth, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, they say it's all a lot of nonsense. It is just foolishness to us. We don't accept that at all. Turn there back, for example, and we're thinking about who God is. This is the foundation and this is where we start. Look there, for example, in the book of Jeremiah. Turn back there in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 23 and the verse 24. Speaking here of God, the Almighty God, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Does the world accept this truth? Of course not. It's not possible to say that a man, that everyone can hide themselves from God. An individual can hide himself and the Lord does not know. Of course they can hide themselves. Is your God so wonderful? Is he so great that it's not possible for a man to hide himself from God? They reject that. And they say it's all but nonsense. But to the Christian, this is a precious truth. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? And you say, well, praise God, I believe this with all my heart. I can't explain it. There's not one of us in the congregation can explain it. Nobody can hide himself in secret out of all the population of this world. But this is the glory of God. This is how glorious God is, unsearchable in all his ways. And you put your trust in the Lord and you say within your heart this morning here in the congregation, yes, no, I can't explain it fully, neither can I here in the pulpit, but I believe it with all my heart. This is my God. This is my heavenly Father. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But you receive it today, and you believe it, and you stand firm upon this truth. And there we have a wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 10 and in the verse 28. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And shall not one of them fall to the ground without my heavenly Father, Jesus said? Look at all the sparrows. Could we number them? Even around this locality of Dromore, in this county, the numberless thousands of sparrows, who's watching over them? Who has an eye upon them? The Lord Jesus said, not one can fall to the ground without your heavenly Father. How much more will he care for you then? What a precious truth this is about God, the God of Holy Scripture, not the figment of man's imagination. And then in Romans chapter 10, we have another great verse. There in the book of Romans, and in the chapter 10, or the chapter 16 rather it is, and in the verse 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Does the world give God the glory? No, but you're giving him the glory. The natural man, you see, it's all, as I say, it's all just emptiness. It's all darkness. He doesn't see God or anything of the glory of God. But dear believer, you're doubting today. You feel that your soul is in trouble. There's a darkness has come upon you. You've lost your assurance, but you've put your trust in the Lord, haven't you? You've come to Him for salvation. And you believe in all your heart in the majesty and in the glory and in the being of God. You accept it. The natural man doesn't accept it. Isn't that great grounds for to restore you again? When you think of this and what you have received and how the Lord has blessed you, that's because you have the Spirit of God in you. Oh, we might walk downtown or go into wherever, here in Dromore or some other town or village, and we can meet so many people, and they say, oh yes, we believe there's a God, all right, we believe there must be some God. But what is it at the end of the day? It is just a lip service. But oh, for to see him in his glory, and in his being, and what he has done for you, that's a different thing altogether. In sending his only begotten Son into this world to die for sinful men. You see, there's a difference. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But I trust this will uplift your heart today, because you're looking at me and you're saying, well, I have received them, and I stand upon them, and I believe them with all my heart and with all my soul. And I trust that that will, as it were, scatter your doubts, bring in that full assurance into your heart again. And we have another great passage there in Ephesians. There we have it in Ephesians chapter 4 and in the verses 17 and 18. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You see that? The world in the vanity of their mind. And look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. But dear Christian, the Lord has removed that blindness from you. You can say with the hymn writer, once I was lost, once I was blind, but now I can see. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Oh, what ground for assurance this is. You see, your mind has been touched by God, and your heart and your understanding has been touched by the Lord. How do you answer the enemy then when he comes? As perhaps he has been coming for the past weeks or months upon you. Well, here is the answer. I have passed from the natural, the blindness, and praise God, the Lord has brought me into the spiritual. And I, as I read the word, I see something. I see something of the fullness of God. I see something of the glory of God, and I believe it with all my heart. Then let the darkness, as it were, be dispelled, and let it be lifted, and let it fly away. This assurance belongs to you today. Look at that great statement we have with Nebuchadnezzar there in the book of Daniel, when the Lord dealt with him, and when he was brought to his senses. What did he say? God ruled in the kingdom of men. Now he says, I see it. God rules in the kingdom of men. This is our God. This is not some invention of men or the figment of their imagination. No, it's the Almighty. What assurance this brings to the people of God. Then not only that, there is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his glorious person. Now, we all know, we're all acquainted, aren't we, with the teaching of the false cults. Oh, they say, yes, he was a good man and he was a prophet. A good man and a prophet. But they say he's just one among many. We just place him among others that has come through this life. Yes, it's good for to hear what he has said and all the rest, but there we leave it. And Christianity, of course, a popular belief today is that Christianity, well, it's only one of many, many faiths and many religions. Only one among many. We're to put them all on the same shelf. And we must not, as it were, upset anybody, no matter who they are. No, all religions are equal. Dear Christian, today, is that your view? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God? Again, you look at me and say, of course not. Who do you think I am? No, that's not me. The Lord has taken away the blindness of the heart. He has come. He has saved me. And I'm seeking to go on with Him. There's a great verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in the verse 21. What a verse it is for our day and generation, men and women. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Read it when you go home. Read it many times and read it over and over again. What does it say? The world by wisdom knew not God. All the wisdom of this world. All the high and the mighty. And all the education and all the science and everything else. And all that's going on. But yet at the end of it all, the Word of God reminds that the world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You don't take that line of thought, do you? No, you don't believe that Christianity is just one among many. No, you see, the gospel is something that stands out. It stands out like a real gem. You glory in it. You delight in it. Though you're passing through an awful difficult battle of mind at this particular time. But you're determined for to hold on. You're determined for to go on as it were. You don't take that line. No, we say that He is precious, as we often sing in the hymn. He is precious to me. His birth, His life, and His spotless purity. And we glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't glory in man, we glory in the cross. And again, that wonderful hymn puts it very well. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You see how the Lord has set you apart? The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. A lot of people mock the cross. They mock the gospel. They mock the church. They mock Christianity. And they say, well, what fools you are. You're still going to church, are you? You're still bringing your children to Sunday school in this modern day and age? You're still reading the Bible? What fools. But the world by wisdom knew not God. Doesn't know God. Doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. But dear Christian, you have received them. You have received them. Though you're conscious that the old enemy is seeking to get you down and seeking to put you on the floor, as it were. But no, you see it. The things of Christ, the things of God are precious. The Lord has given you a different mind, and He has given to you a different spirit, the Holy Spirit. You don't pay lip service to these things at all. What a divide there is. We were over in Donegal there, just myself and Elaine, there a few days ago, and I had a few tracts in my pocket. And as it often goes with the ladies, they go into some shop across the street. But I went over into the centre there in Donegal town, and I handed out a few tracts. And people accepted them all right, and they thanked me for them. But I came to this, one man, and he was seated there. And my goodness, I'd tell you, he was up in a rage. He said, "You're talking about, how do you know there's a God? The Muslims have a God. Is he not right?" And he was one angry man. Well, that's what we're all like by nature. Resentment of the claims of the gospel. But oh, it's a different matter. You see, the Christian has passed from darkness on to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. That's what God has done for his people. Doubt no more, dear Christian. Lay hold upon the victory that is yours. You're not a natural man anymore. The Lord has done something wonderful for you. Claim it. Lay hold upon it. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. How do I know I'm saved? Because I have received them. And they're in my heart, and I have received them with great delight. But here's another great test, of course. Here's the great test, the new birth. The new birth. For except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Dear soul, are you born again? Have you been born from above? Are you a new creature? Have you come to faith in Christ? You know, if you're not saved today, you're lost. We have sung hymns there today about heaven and concerning glory. Are you going to be in heaven when your time comes? Are you going to glory? Do you not see that you must be saved? That you need the new birth? You need to become a new person where you can say, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And of course, even so many religious people don't. We've all experienced this. And they get angry and resentful. But even at the mention of the word saved. Oh, how sad. How sad that so many places of worship today, so many churches, and it's not going out from the pulpit that a man must be born again. But the believer delights in it, the new birth, because they see what God has done for them. You see there again in Romans, and we know the passage so well, don't we? In Romans chapter 3 and in the verse 9, we read these words. What then, are we better than they? That is Jew and Gentile here he's comparing. No, in no wise. For we before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are under sin. And the verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, no, not one, that seeketh after God. There's a multitude of religious people today, and they'll not accept that. There is none righteous. No, I've been baptized. I go to church. I pay my bills. I'm a respectable person. Don't need this saved business or the new birth. But the Christian agrees with this. None righteous, no, not one. We're all as an unclean thing. We're all fallen before a holy God. The new birth. Yes, even though at this present time there's a warfare going on within your own heart, and you have lost a great measure of assurance. Oh, dear Christian, yet you have received this with all your soul, the new birth. And you believe the statements of the Apostle Paul, that there's none righteous, no, not one. Why do you doubt then? Listen to the words of the hymn. Praise God, you can shake off those guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on your behalf appears. Go before God. Claim the precious blood. That blood pleads for you today in your dilemma and in your trouble, because you're not a natural man anymore. God has done something wonderful for you. Plead the blood of the Lamb. That bleeding sacrifice on your behalf appears. We read there, didn't we, in Ephesians 4 and the verse 17, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And the Apostle Paul encouraging the people of God, keep going on. Don't go back. Keep going on. And isn't that your desire today? You're not going, I don't want to go back into the world, you say. Don't want to go back to the pub. Don't want to go back to the gambling. Don't want to go back to any of them things. My chief desire is to know God and to serve Him and to keep going on. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Cast off your doubts and fears, dear believer. Come into that full assurance. Lay hold upon the Lord, and He'll lead you on. You're not in the natural realm, you're in the spiritual. And may the Lord bless you in this matter today and undertake for you for His own name's sake. We're going to sing now a couple of verses in closing today. And it's a hymn, well-known hymn, 311. The hymn 311, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We'll stand together now as we worship. Each and every child of God at this time, lead them on with Thyself. For any in the congregation who are yet are not saved, Lord, speak to them. May they even now lift up their hearts and call upon the name of the Lord and be converted, and pass, Lord, from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Do that great work, Lord. Part us with your blessing, Lord, and grant everyone a safe journey home in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can be of help to anybody, if you want to speak to me or one of the elders,